We're living in a very busy world today, and it seems to get busier and busier, and people are meeting themselves, coming back, as we say. Sometimes we're so busy we don't have time even to think about the things of God. So maybe harvest and a harvest service such as this is an opportunity to just remind ourselves that God is a wonderfully glorious God who provides for us in a wonderful way. And when you see these things here in the church, the flowers and the fruit and the vegetables and so on, don't they remind us of the goodness of God? And as we come tonight to worship God together, it's good just to take a moment, not to take things for granted, but just to draw aside and to praise God for the things of the harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ was busy too. Far, far busier than any of us. And yet he had time to pause and look upon the things that he could see around him in the world of nature. One time he saw the lilies growing in the field, and they reminded him of the providence of God and the care of God for his people. Another occasion he saw the grapes growing on the vine, and that reminded him that a man or a woman must be grafted into God if they are to produce fruit for God in their lives. And again, didn't he see the farmer sowing in the fields, and that taught a great lesson about the Word of God and about how it falls on different soils, different hearts, as it were. And we read there in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, about the Lord Jesus being out in a cornfield on the Sabbath day. He had been to a place of worship, a synagogue, and now he was walking in a cornfield on the Sabbath. His disciples were plucking the ears of corn and they were eating them. And there were some Pharisees there as well. I'm not sure why they were there, but they seemed to be dogging the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt seeking to catch him out in some way or another. I want you to come with me, as it were, alongside the Lord Jesus as he walks on that cornfield, to try and see what Jesus saw in that cornfield as he walked among the corn that was almost ripe for harvest. It must have been, if the disciples were able to eat the little grains of corn or barley or whatever it was, it must have been near harvest, because they could chew them, they could eat them. We used to do it. I remember doing it as a wee fella. When they used to grow oats. They don't do that very much nowadays, but we used to take them out of the shovels and chew them and eat them when they were ripe. So come with me. Let's ask ourselves, what did Jesus see when he looked out across that cornfield that was ripe unto harvest? Well, I think, first of all, didn't he see the faithfulness of God? God had given a harvest once again. And hasn't God given us a harvest once again? God has been faithful to his promise given to Noah, that while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and so on would not cease. And they haven't ceased. And God is a faithful God, and we praise him today or tonight, and we thank him for the harvest once again. There are difficulties for some farmers today. Men who are in the milk business are finding it difficult to make ends meet. Poor prices for the milk, but these things sometimes have a way of sorting themselves out. We need to remember that the psalmist said, I was young and now I am old, Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. You know, I have seen the righteous sad. I've seen the righteous with tears in their eyes. I've seen the righteous between a rock and a hard place. I've seen the righteous with their back against the wall, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen them forsaken. And although we grumble sometimes that things are not going our way, maybe in the farming trade, God will meet our needs because he is a faithful God. And the Lord Jesus saw the faithfulness of God. And I think he saw something else. He saw in that harvest field, he saw the graciousness of God. What is grace? Grace is getting what you don't deserve. And you know, the people in Jesus' day, they didn't deserve a harvest. The Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The people cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The people had got away from the purity of Old Testament faith and religion. And the Pharisees and their teachings and the Sadducees and so on had led the people astray. And when Jesus sought to bring them back again to the truth of God's word, many of them didn't want it. They didn't want it. They didn't deserve a harvest. And yet God had given them a harvest once again. The Lord was out there in a cornfield where the corn was ripe unto harvest. What about our own nation in this present day and generation? Do you think we deserve a harvest? When you consider some of the laws that have been passed in Parliament, legalizing things that we would not even want to think about, let alone practice. When you think of some of the criminality that goes on in our land, when you think of the way politicians sometimes are behaving, men with and women with positions of responsibility. And when you think of all of these things, friends, do we deserve a harvest? And yet God has given us a harvest once again. You know, we shouldn't be surprised if God were to bring judgment upon this nation that we belong to because of the way things are going. And yet God has been gracious, and God has preserved us, and God has given us a harvest once again. The Lord Jesus saw the faithfulness of God. He saw, I believe, there the graciousness of God. And didn't he also see the lavishness of God's provision? Because God provides for us not only what we need, but far, far more than we really need. Far, far more. You remember that wonderful miracle that Jesus performed? There were 5,000 men and perhaps a lot of women and children there, thousands as well. And the Lord fed them. A little boy brought his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the Lord multiplied those loaves and fishes. But surely the greatest part of that miracle is this, that afterwards they were able to lift or gather up 12 baskets full of fragments. For God had provided more than enough to feed those people. And we should praise God tonight that we have more than enough. There's not a man or woman, a boy or a girl in church tonight, but hasn't far, far more than they really need. Isn't that right? The lavishness of God's provision. Oh, we should be thankful people. Come ye thankful people, come raise the song of harvest home. And we ought to do that, friends, from the bottom of our hearts. And not only at harvest time, but day after day after day. Because God is a gracious God who provides for us abundantly. Didn't he give his own son for sinners? Could he have given anything greater than Jesus? And we must praise and thank God for such a wondrous gift as our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think also the Lord, when he looked out on that harvest field and saw those Pharisees, not only was he reminded about God and his faithfulness and his graciousness and the lavishness of his provision, but he was also reminded of the pettiness and the small-mindedness and the sinfulness of man. The disciples were plucking the ears of corn. The Pharisees saw them, and the Pharisees accused them of what? Of breaking the Sabbath. They accused them of breaking the law. Now the Pharisees, you see, they were great men for the law of God, or so they imagined. Now the Pharisees, you know, they believed some things that were right, you know. Even a clock that's broken is right twice a day. They believed in a resurrection. They believed in the sovereignty of God. They believed in the authority of the scriptures. They believed some things that were right. But the Pharisees were at heart men who believed in salvation by religious duty. They believed that they could be right with God by going through the motions of religion. The idea that God might save a man or a woman by his grace and mercy alone was foreign to a Pharisee. They were men who were steeped in religion. And friends, there are lots of people today steeped in religion. They're up to there in religion, but they haven't got Christ. And you know, there's religion all over the world. Religions are to a penny. You can find a religion somewhere, anywhere, to suit whatever taste you might have if it's religion you want. There are multitudes of religions, but there's only one Savior. There's only one Jesus. And the Pharisees didn't want to know him and planned to kill him. But you see, there are people and they lay a lot of stock by religion. Religion. And they imagine that by doing religious things, maybe just being in church or whatever, being in the right place at the right time and doing the right thing, but that's what pleases God and that's what will save them. But not at all. You know, the devil would as soon take you to hell from a church pew as from the gutter. He would. The devil doesn't mind you being religious if he can keep you away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't it a religious crowd that put Jesus to death? Those Pharisees. A minister was one time speaking to a young fellow about his soul. And the young fellow said to him, he said, you needn't talk to me about things like that. He said, I tried your religion for 5 years. And it did me no good. And the minister smiled and he said to him, Well, he says, I was just like you. He said, I tried religion too for 15 years. And it did me no good. And I gave it up. And the young fellow says, you did? Then why are you a minister? He says, I'm a minister because I found Jesus. And friends, religion's no use without Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can take you to the glory land. Jesus Christ died on that cross, and he paid the price of your sin and mine. And he bore in his own body on that tree the condemnation of God against guilty sinners like you and me. And there's only one way to be saved, and that is by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. No other way. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. And he only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah! What a Saviour. Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Pettiness, the small-mindedness, and the sinfulness of man. Jesus saw the Pharisees, and he was reminded of the sinfulness of man. And I think he was reminded of one other thing. Not only of God and his faithfulness, his graciousness, the lavishness of his provision, not only of the sinfulness, the pettiness of man, but the Lord Jesus was reminded of the nearness of the final harvest home. He knew that the harvest would soon be reaped in that cornfield. He knew that men would come with sharp sickles. That's how they did it in those days. They had no combines in those days. And they would reap that corn and gather it into sheaves. And I think it reminded the Lord Jesus Christ of the great harvest at the end of time. That harvest that we read about in the book of Revelation. And I read you just a little bit of chapter 14. And if you read through that chapter, I'll tell you this, it will alarm you. It will alarm you because it speaks of the Lord coming in judgment. And it speaks of a final harvest home when there will be a separating out of the wheat and the tares. And I believe that that harvest is coming, and it's perhaps not that far away, although we don't know. But there are signs, aren't there, that we may be drawing near the end of time in this world. At such an hour as ye do not know, the Son of Man cometh. The Bible says he comes like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Yes, there is that final harvest home when the Lord will come with that great sickle, when he will be accompanied by his mighty angels, and there will be a reaping on the earth such as there never was before. And I believe too that the Lord Jesus saw this, that final harvest home would show which side a man or a woman is really on. Because all things will be exposed on the day of judgment. There will be no hiding then, and no running then, and no pretending then. And religion will not be of any benefit to anyone then, because all will be exposed before the all-seeing eye of God. The wheat and the tares Jesus spoke about will be finally separated out. Oh, in this world they grow together. Why, it's very difficult sometimes to know the genuine Christian, isn't it? A man or woman may say something, they may use words, and yet their heart might never be right with the Lord. But Jesus said the tares will grow along with the wheat until the judgment, when the separation will be made. And that day will show where I stand. Whether I am a man of honest intent or a hypocrite, a dyed-in-the-wool hypocrite. And that day will show, dear friend, where you stand. And not only that, but I believe that day that Jesus foresaw in the nearness of the harvest is a day that will determine where you or I will spend eternity. And make no, you know, the truth of the matter is this. The truth of the matter is this, that there is a heaven and there is a hell. You know, people don't like you talking about hell sometimes. I think that's our street corner preaching, you know. I think that's brethren preaching. But I can tell you this, it's Bible preaching. It's Bible preaching. And there is a hell for those who refuse to accept Jesus Christ. And there is a heaven for those who are saved by the blood of the Lamb. And that final harvest home will decide where you spend eternity. You know, when I was a young fella, I used to go and watch the mill and the baler working. Now, they don't do it nowadays, except you go to a vintage rally or something like that. But they used to have a threshing machine and a baler linked up together. My day, they were driven by a Nuffield or a Fordson tractor. And they used to go across the field to a farmer called Andy Martin. He had a mill and a baler. And we'd have heard them going. You see, you heard them. There's a distinct sound. And we young fellows would go across. We'd just sit and watch. Because it was, you know, it was interesting to us just to see the whole thing happening. And to watch the men there with a pitchfork throwing up the corn onto the top of the mill. And a man there with a sharp knife would cut it, the band off it. And then another man would feed it down into the mill. And it would go down into the bowels of the mill. And then out of one end of the mill would come the grain, and would be put into bags, and out of the other end of the mill came the straw, and it would go on down into the baler and be baled into square bales, and then out of the side of the mill came the chaff. Chaff was no use, just came out there in a heap. Sometimes they burned it, sometimes the wind blew it away. And I would ask you tonight, what side, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come tonight, what side of the mill would you be on? With the good grain? You see, the good grain was taken away and stored away. The bales were taken away and stored away. And the chaff was left to be driven away by the wind. Would you be with the good grain? Or with the chaff? What side of the mill would you be on? If you've never been converted, to your friend, if you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, I would say to you tonight to come to Jesus, to give your life into his hands, without delay and trust him to keep you, not only to save you, but to keep you for time and for eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ going through the cornfield. He saw the faithfulness of God. He saw the graciousness of God. He saw the lavishness of God's provision. But he also saw the pettiness and the small-mindedness and the sinfulness of man. And he saw the nearness of the final harvest home. Now, what you can do in this church tonight is you can close your mind to what I have said if you're not a saved man or woman. And you can go out through that door and back into the community just the same way as you came in. Or else you can square what I have said with the scripture. And if what I have said is right and true, then let me challenge you to come to Jesus Christ, to trust him even tonight and receive him as your personal Savior. The final harvest home will certainly come, and you and I must be ready as good grain to be gathered in to the garner. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your word, Lord, and we come tonight knowing the truth of your word. And Lord, we do know that the day will come when Jesus Christ shall return in power and in splendor, and he shall come to reap the harvest of the earth. Our God, we pray that on that day, whether we be alive or whether we will have already passed from the scene of time, we know, Lord, that we will have to appear at the judgment seat of God. Our Father, we ask that we might be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, that we might be good grain, good wheat, to be gathered in to the storehouse of God. Lord, forbid it that any here should be like the tares or the chaff which the wind driveth away, and the place of it is known no more. God bless your word to our hearts tonight, in Christ's name. Amen. Our final praise tonight is the hymn, Almighty God, your word is cast like seed into the ground. Now let the dew of heaven descend and righteous fruits abound.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this night and forevermore. Amen.